welcome to episode 82 of the Planning Period Podcast. You're Ed Breakroom. I'm your host, Brad Streffler. This week on the show, I'm joined by, well, nobody, myself. For the second time in the history of this podcast, I'm going to do a solo episode to talk a little bit about my first semester or first term in graduate school. I told you guys when I started graduate school in my first solo episode that I would be doing check-ins and checking on how things had gone. And so this is the first of those. I finished the first term of the program, and it consisted of a few different classes. Number one was kind of an internship class, which didn't really have a lot to do. You do your internship and your regular day-to-day work with this program, and so not a lot going on there. My other one was a seminar course where you sort of build your resume a little bit and some things like that. Again, not really directly content related. And the two main courses that made up the bulk of the work and the bulk of the term was one on data and using a data-driven approach to drive instructional improvement, and also a sort of generalized leadership course. I've struggled releasing this episode or recording this episode because, if I'm being completely truthful, I did not enjoy my first term in my master's program. For one thing, there's just not a lot of content in this first term that I was in. You know, a lot of the data course, for example, centered on the idea that you should use data to make your decisions. Well, in my opinion, if you're an instructor, if you're an educator, and you don't know that, you probably don't belong in a leadership program. You probably don't belong in an Ed Leadership Master's, and you probably have some serious issues in your classroom too. It's very low level for a master's level course, in my opinion. The other part of it was PD, professional development, once you have the data. And this section, while I am passionate about professional development and improving professional development in general, this was very much glossed over. In fact, the majority of the content on professional development was presented by the people in the class. We did our own presentations on different professional development models. And the other two pairs, there's six people total in my cohort now. The other two pairs presented on similar topics. They both presented on variations of instructional rounds, which, very powerful strategy, great way to help people learn and learn more about education and their instructional practice. I believe I've said on the show before, I don't think we get out of classrooms nearly often enough into each other's classrooms, for sure. And so that's a useful practice, absolutely. Me and my partner decided to present on two things. We presented on Flipped PD and EdCamp sort of together by creating a Flipped PD course on the EdCamp model and ways you could use both in the classroom, and then had the participants in the class, my cohort, go through the Flipped PD course during class time instead of doing a traditional presentation. So it was a lot of fun, involved recording a podcast episode, kind of myself and my partner talking about what an EdCamp was and using some clips from some other shows. So that was a lot of fun, very cool. And but that wasn't until the last night of class that we presented those. So up until that point, not a lot of content had been presented. I think in general, that's really my complaint about the entire first term, was that there was not enough content going on. I tell you all that to sort of explain my mindset and the problems I've been going through. I chose the program I chose because I wanted to get value out of the master's process. I could have done various different online-only courses that would have probably been less work, definitely less time commitment, as they wouldn't require a weekly face-to-face meeting with a professor, and would have gotten me very little instructional value or improvement in my own practice. Instead, I chose this program with face-to-face time, with a scheduling difficulty, with having to find babysitting for my son and other things, and moving other things around to always have my Thursday nights free for class. And I chose it because I wanted the face-to-face interaction. I wanted the interaction, the learning, beyond simply doing work in an online course and maybe discussion boards here and there. And I feel sort of robbed of that in my first semester. And it's caused me to have a lot of conversations with the people at my school who really pushed me to take this program, to participate in this. They're quick to remind me that I knew going into this I was jumping through a hoop because I needed to. I've said on the show before that if there were some sort of alternative certification for administration, if I could prove with time served in a leadership role that I was qualified to be an assistant principal, I would probably take advantage of that. I probably would have taken advantage of it a while ago. But such a thing does not exist where I am, and instead you kind of have to simply present, go through the motions. You have to jump through the hoops in order to get to where you need to be. There's just no way around it, unfortunately. And so you have to go through the motions. And I'm really hating it. My first night in class, I talked about getting into this program, and they asked me how I ended up here, and I basically said I was bullied into it. And they laughed, thinking I was kidding, and asked me to explain. And, you know, on the podcast, I read my entrance essay, which is the fluffier, nicer version of this story. But the reality is, for years now, I have been pestered regularly to be in an administration role, to go to get my master's, and to be able to serve my school community better. People on this show have harassed me about it as I use clips the last time I did a solo episode. My dad, who has been on the show a couple times, has not stopped harassing me about it for years that I needed to go into leadership. And so I've always said no, I've always said no, I've always said no, and I finally broke down and started this program as a path of least resistance, if you will, because it was easier to just start than it was to continue to hear that I really needed to do this. And so I said this during the first week of class, and people laughed and thought it was funny and whatever. When we moved on, and during the second to last week of class, one of the professors was doing one-on-one sessions with us to just kind of check in, see where we're at, see how we're feeling about this program and getting our work done and everything else. And the first thing she said to me when I sat down was, "So, how are you feeling? Do you feel like you're glad you did this yet? And you're glad you started this program?" And I said simply, "No. No, I am not." And she was like kind of surprised I would say that, but also at this point she's known me in class a couple of times, and as you all will not be surprised to hear, I do not act very serious in these courses, and I'm definitely quick to make jokes and laugh and things like that, but still. She kind of laughed a little bit, and I said, "No, seriously, I'm really not. I don't really feel like I've gotten a lot of value out of this stuff so far. I don't really feel like there has been a lot of information that has been new to me. And the kind of research-based writing, formulaic, follow the structure and outline writing that we are having to do for assignments is killing my soul." And that's what I told her. She was a little surprised, I think, and didn't really know how to respond to me. Like I think any teacher probably would, she responded in a way of trying to solve the problem, which is not what I was really looking for. I understand this program is what it is. It's jumping through hoops. What I don't like is that I'm jumping through hoops. You know, it's hard because I do know, I believe that I would be a good school leader. I believe I'd be a good assistant principal, and I have to do this to get to that point, but it's very much not benefiting me yet. And I don't want this to be all negative. There were good moments, of course. There were good moments in the course. I really enjoyed one particular night of class where we just had an open discussion about one of the books we had read, the Fullan book, The Principal, which talks about the role of a principal as a lead learner, not an instructional leader. Excellent concept. You know, the basic principle is that the basic idea is that the principal cannot be the instructional leader, the only instructional leader on campus. Instead, they're more
valuable use of time is being in the lead learner, encouraging a community of learners who really want to improve, and specifically the teachers wanting to continue that sort of, he doesn't use these terms, but lifelong learning mentality where they want to keep learning. Very useful. Great mentality to have. You know, as someone who does see himself as an instructional leader often, it's an interesting idea, a paradigm shift to understand that as a principal, that may not be the most important role that I can take, which I thought was interesting. And then we had an open discussion about it, and everybody shared ideas back and forth, and people asked questions, and it was great. But, you know, that's not, that wasn't what class was every week. Much of class was being lectured to. And as someone who pushes hard to get teachers in my school to stop doing that, having someone do it to me was very frustrating and hard to handle. So I tell you all this not to complain, not to just vent my own frustrations. I tell you this because I imagine that much of my listenership must consider a program like this. Many of my listeners must be considering leadership at some point. I feel like if you're the kind of person who listens to education podcasts on the regular, if you take your time outside of work to continue improving your craft, then the idea of advancement has to be in your mind. I think it's something you have to consider. You could very much be like me and say you'll never do it, say you'll never do it, and then eventually change your mind. You could very much be like me 6 months ago, who just simply said he would never do it and was going to stick to that. You may never do it. It may not even be something on your radar, but I think it's important for me to share my honest experience for any of my listeners who do consider this in the future, who are thinking, you know, I kind of would like to be an assistant principal or a principal, and that requires I go get my master's in leadership. I don't know that there is a perfect program out there. I think one advantage slash disadvantage I have is that I'm already in a coaching position. You know, that some of the content presented and the discussions that were had by the professors would probably be interesting and new information if I were still in a traditional classroom setting. If I didn't have that big picture mentality of how a school runs and get to sort of see behind the curtain, maybe that would be more interesting information to me. You know, I say on the show regularly that my perspective of how a school functions changed when I got the radio. You know, I talk all the time about how having a radio changes what you see and changes how you think about a school. So maybe that's part of my problem, is that I already have that eye-opening in my mind, and therefore going through a program that maybe is meant more for teachers in the traditional classroom to learn about administration, maybe that's where my frustration comes from. Maybe four other members of my cohort who are still in traditional classrooms, maybe all of that was awesome to them. I don't know. I really haven't asked, and from my own reflection, that's probably something I need to do more of. I need to get closer with the other members of my cohort, besides the member who works with me at my school, and we talk about this a lot. You know, But I think it's important that you consider that. There may not be a perfect program out there. But if you really believe you could be a good assistant principal, as I do, I believe I have the capacity. I believe I do most of the job now in my coaching role. If you believe you could be good at this and other people are telling you you could be good at this, I have to fall back on what my principal told me, which is I have seen well enough to know that there is not enough capacity in the system to build great leaders. Teachers are wonderful. They're great people. We know that we work hard. We know that our jobs are not easy. And many of them really could be phenomenal or are phenomenal in the classroom, but that doesn't mean they necessarily have the skills of leadership. And often, those that do have the skills of leadership can be lacking in a classroom aspect or lacking in the empathy component of understanding students. And, you know, there are not enough people that want to be or are prepared to be or are eligible to be school leaders, assistant principals right now to fill the positions that are out there. I know that's true in my county, and I can only imagine it's true elsewhere. And so my principal told me that ultimately it is a dereliction of duty if I don't go do this. And I, as frustrated as I am with my first term in this course, I can't argue with him. I still believe that to be true. I still believe that it is my responsibility. And if you believe you have the capacity to do it, then it is your responsibility to go out and do it. To actually become a leader, because we are in desperate need of them. We are in desperate need of leaders who are qualified, who have the capacity to do this job and do it well. And if nothing else, your classroom limits you to influencing the students in front of you. That's what it is. You know, you can support other teachers on campus and influence their students as well indirectly, but being a building leader gives you the ability to impact every student that comes through that school. And that's something that if we're in this field, if we're in this profession because we love students, because we want to help students grow as people, that gives us the ability to do it. And it may be in a different capacity and it may be different than what we think we want to do, but if we have the ability, it's important that we give it a try. That's not to say that a face-to-face weekly program like I'm in is right for you. Maybe there's a different program out there that's right for you, and that's totally fine. But find it. Find what it takes. Figure it out. Because if you're listening to this, you are probably the kind of person that would make a great, great leader. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the assignments we did. I posted a couple things on my blog as well, which you can find at bradshuffler.com, of course. I posted a few different activities or assignments I wrote in there. Some of the major assignments we had to do, we had to do a couple different case studies this term. I don't believe I posted those on the blog. One of the case studies was on a guy starting a charter school and some of the problems that arose there, which was interesting. The charter school was not very well prepared. There was a lack of goals and expectations. There's a lack of tracking being done in general, but it had some good ideas about community involvement. So it was kind of an interesting case to dive into. Another one was on social media as teachers, and it focused specifically on the idea of befriending your students on Facebook is the specific example, but it gave us a chance to talk about some of those things and policies. One of the things I was very interested to find out, there's very little research on social media influence in schools, and specifically social media as teachers use it in classrooms. There's not a lot of research out there on that, which I found strange. And there's very, very little on ethics in social media, which is odd because those two things you would think would connect pretty quickly. But I think what I concluded in the paper is that there's a murkiness there because teachers have a First Amendment right that a school policy on social media could easily infringe upon. And so you'd have some issues with that, you know, and even a straight policy of you can't be friends with students at the school can be tremendously complicated if you live in the same community. You know, if Johnny, who's in 11th grade, is also my babysitter for my younger son and has been since he was in middle school and not at my school, well, now does that say I have to be disconnected from Johnny the 4 years he's with me at my school? Do I need to online be disconnected from that or not? Now it's an additional level of complication. And having a straight black and white policy, it would make that more complicated, I feel like. You know, it's up to teachers' discretion to navigate those waters. It's just part of what we do. But to have a school policy that restricts your options, I don't necessarily think is a good thing. So that was an interesting paper to write. We had to do a critique of our school's school improvement plan. That was terrible. It had to be 11 pages. Our school improvement plan isn't even 11 pages. That was ridiculous. I think it was the most pointless thing I've ever written. The reality is schools, at least in my area, don't take school improvement plans seriously. We have to write them. We submit them to the state in August. Usually one person writes them by themselves because the principal designated them to. We check in on it 3 or 4 times a year at the designated times we have to check in. And then we basically move on with our lives. People don't take these things seriously. And so to write a critique that lengthy on it was a little annoying, in my opinion. It's probably one of the reasons I was so frustrated by the course, is I started the course just in time to do that assignment, and it really frustrated me. Honestly, it was the worst part of the term. It was completely a waste of my time. There was no value in it whatsoever. Another assignment we had to do was a couple things about our own leadership style and how we think we need to do. We had to shadow a couple people on our campus and write about that experience, interview a couple people. Those weren't as bad. I kind of liked those. Getting to think about my own leadership style and what that would look like. As podcast guests will not be surprised to hear, I focused a lot on change and how I want to build change in a school, but also on school culture and how to build a positive school culture and increase morale with teachers, which, you know, again, podcast guests who've been around and have heard Mad PD work last year and things like that, they'll know something that I'm passionate about. So, of course, that's going to be part of my leadership style. But overall, you know, I didn't find a lot of value. I don't enjoy the research component. I really don't. A couple of the books we read, like I've mentioned, The Principle by Fullan, also From Leading to Succeeding by Douglas Reeves, both excellent books. I thought they were interesting and had some good points. I've also reached out to both of those authors to try to see if I can get them on the podcast. No luck yet, but I'm working on it. I will try to work on getting them both on the show. But I think the biggest thing I realized, the other thing I realized that is not just simply negative about this program, is I am a terrible student. I had forgotten how bad of a student I was. I don't like doing work. I procrastinate. I wait to the last minute. I often can turn things in late or knowingly turn them in incomplete. When I get frustrated with something, like that school improvement plan assignment, I just start typing stuff out and not really proofreading or editing or going back on it. I run a spell check through Grammarly to do some basic cleanup, but I don't necessarily go back and read the papers completely. I don't scour the rubric for the assignment to make sure I have all the requirements, especially given that I can repeat assignments and get feedback and correct and edit. I really don't put a lot of effort into my first attempt in some of these, especially if I don't see the value in it. I am that student in the back of the room making jokes. Oh, I also do that in class. I regularly make jokes. I make side comments to my friend with me that's in the program, Shannon, and generally am just disruptive from time to time. When they ask us to talk with other people and have discussions, I mostly just joke around. I eventually throw together an answer last minute. When they ask us to share out, if I've kept the group off task the entire time and they want us to share out what our group small group talked about, I will just completely make up something that our group talked about and just free flow on it for a minute. And everyone in my group is staring at me like, what the heck is he talking about? Totally common practice for me. I'm really not a good student. That's the reality. And I have to wonder, is that exacerbated? Is that made worse because I didn't find value in the course? And I assume it is. Of course, I mean, I'm fairly positive it is. But then we have to make that extension to our own classrooms. Is if as an adult, as a man going through a graduate program with years of experience in his field and talking about a subject he's passionate about, if the class isn't connecting to me and I don't find value in it, I lose the ability to be non-disruptive. I lose the ability to stay focused and be serious. If I'm doing that as a mature, at least most of the time, some of the time, actually very rarely, but technically mature adult, how on earth can we expect our students to do the same? You know, it was a reminder to me the importance of connecting and making time valuable. And for the first time in my life, I can say, I'm paying for this and I don't find the value in it. That only made it worse because I always had scholarships when I went through my undergrad. And so now having to pay for school, super not fun. It's been an experience. It has not been as positive as I'd hoped, but I'm trying to stay positive for the next term. I've talked to a couple other people that have been through this program and they said term one is a challenge, but it gets better And I'm hoping that in term two, we'll have a little bit better content, a little bit better discussions. I'll get to know the other people in my cohort better and try to start to have conversations with them more and build on those things. So those are my goals going into term two. I've got another week off before we go back into class and start term two. And I really want to make this thing better this time. I want to have a better experience, and I'm hoping that I can get that. So, well, if you've made it all the way to this point and listened to me ramble for 20 odd minutes and some about my first term experience, I appreciate it. I hope I gave you some value. I hope you will really consider this is a good decision for you as someone who went into it kicking and screaming. And I'm still not real thrilled with it. I still think it was the right decision to go in. So if I feel that way, then you probably will too. So look at what options you have around you. Look at what programs are out there and what they might cost you. It's scary easy to take out massive loans and pull on lots of debt to be able to pay for a master's program. It's scary easy. You really just kind of click a button and say, this is how much loan money I want. So, you know, That's good, I guess. Good and bad at the same time. But give it a try. Go out there and try it. It's worth it. The system needs you. The system needs people in those leadership positions to make that change. That's what we need. So give it a try. Coming up, I got back to normal episodes. Hopefully starting soon, we'll be back on a regular schedule. Also, I want to take a second to talk to you a little bit about MAD PD. This is Make a Difference PD. This is an online unconference that happens once a year. It's put together by a couple different people out of Canada, and it's really, really, really awesome. I really love this program. I presented with it last year and talked about the value of building morale in a school as an instructional coach, and it was a fun session. It's all online. It's all on YouTube. You do a YouTube live session for 30 minutes each. 15-minute session with 15 minutes of Q&A. It was a ton of fun. I had a bunch of people in there live with me asking questions at the end, talking about ways they could use this in their schools, which was very exciting. But there's also a schedule put out that is all of the events going on, links to all the YouTube videos, and it lets you go back after the fact and watch any of those sessions again, see what the presenters gave. It's all 100% free. Nothing costs anything. So definitely check that out. If you're interested, there'll be a link in the show notes to learn about MAD PD. Applications are open for presenters. They're technically closed on the 1st. So you got like through this weekend. So if you're listening to this any later than a couple days after it came out, you probably missed the window for that. But I also bet they'd be willing to let you present anyways. But April 1st is the closing for that. The day itself is May 5th. Sunday, May 5th is the day of MAD PD. And it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm hoping to get my own presentation set up and do something for it as well. Maybe some of you guys will also let me know if you listen to the podcast and are going to be presenting at MAD PD. I'd love to hear from you. And then I'll be giving more information about my session and stuff in a future episode. But definitely check out MAD PD. And again, that link is in the show notes. If you'd like to connect with me and talk about the show, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Brad Schreffler. I love to hear from you guys there. That's also a great place to connect if you'd like to be a guest on the show. I am looking for more guests on the show right now, so please, please, please send me a message on there. Or you can check out my feedback page on my website that gives additional options for feedback. And you can find that at bradschreffler.com/feedback. And of course, links to all of those are in the show notes. Until next week, go out and become the leader that you can be. Music for the Planning Period podcast is the song Vicious by Kevin MacLeod, used under Creative Commons. You can find him at incompetech.com. The Planning Period podcast is also a proud member of the Voice Ed Radio Network, a 24-hour radio network all about education all the time. Voice Ed Radio, your voice is right here.